Welcome to episode 48 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Mr. Matt Skura. And we got my great co-host, Mr. Caleb Connett. Caleb, how has your week gone so far?
Pretty good, my man. Pretty good. Historic week this week overall. But it's been a good week. Can't complain. Still getting blessed. Still working. Still breathing, still healthy. Good week, my boy. How you doing?
I've been doing great as well, you know, celebrating the new year and stuff. And so far this week is treating me well. And the playoffs are tomorrow.
Yep.
Definitely looking forward to the NFL playoffs. NBA season is just getting underway. You know, things are going excited right now. But before we get into our topics of discussion, Caleb, where can the listeners of this episode follow all of your great work that you do?
Man, you guys can follow me on Instagram at @onecalebconant. Click the link in my bio. You can find other things there as well. Follow my other Instagram, change_the_narrative_wristbands. Go to changethenarrative.com and get you a wristband. Feel me? Find me on Twitter at @calebconant2. And click the bio in there. You can find other things too. MCS Real Sports Podcast every week. Jewels and Gems Podcast with me and my dad every week. And I write, you know, so you can see that on there too. I'm everywhere. We everywhere. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Definitely feel ya. You could check out my Twitter at @Matt_Skura, my Instagram at @Matt_Skura19. And like Caleb said, we are everywhere. Check out this podcast, whether you're watching it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're available everywhere. Now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about some of our topics of discussion for this episode. Now, one of the topics that we have that we will discuss right away is the playoff matchups that are tomorrow. Caleb, for this Super Wild Card weekend, for tomorrow, the three games that are going to be played in the NFL are the Indianapolis Colts head to Buffalo to play the Bills at 10:05 a.m. Pacific time. The Rams head to Seattle at 1:40 Pacific time. And on Saturday night, the Buccaneers will travel to the Washington football team. If you had to choose which game you're most looking forward to watching tomorrow, what game would that be?
I'm going with the Tampa Bay and Washington football team game, man. After seeing how Washington smashed on my Eagles, unfortunately, you know, our coach wanted to put in our third string quarterback. Anybody out there listening, help me understand why. I don't know why. But we ultimately we lost that game. And seeing Chase Young energy, he was like, I want Tom. So I know that defense is going to be turned up with a young rookie that's bringing killer energy. And, you know, Tampa Bay faced some questions, some challenges on the offensive side of the ball. So I think that game is going to be the most interesting to see because I just know that Washington football team defense is going to come out turned up. For sure, and they're at home, so they got to take advantage of this one.
Definitely a lot of good points there. I'm going to go with a different game. I am going to go with the Rams traveling to Seattle playing the Seahawks. The reason why I'm going with that game is just because of the fact of, you know, what kind of Jared Goff will we get? Because, I mean, we've heard from the Rams as of this week. Jared Goff is listed as questionable, which means he could play. Cooper Kupp was just activated off the COVID list. Andrew Whitworth just came back from IR. So the Rams are starting to get fully healthy. The Seahawks, you know, the last couple of weeks, their offense has been kind of sputtering a little bit, you know, and then with their defense, you know, can their defense keep up the momentum that they've been going? You know, I'm most looking forward to the brew. I have a feeling that the Rams are going to upset Seattle in Seattle. And it's not like in Seattle in years past, the 12th man with the fans and stuff, because you know, they're probably going to have a limited amount of fans or no fans at all. So I don't think the crowd will play as much of a factor. And you look at the Rams, they beat Seattle before. It's not like Seattle swept them this year. You know, the Rams have beat them once before. Why can't they do it again? This will be the third time that they're playing against one another. Last time the Rams played Seattle in week 16 in Seattle, they did not play good. You know, that's when Goff broke his thumb. I feel like Sean McVay and company, they're going to come out with vengeance.
Yeah, and, that was a couple of weeks ago, no?
That was in week 16.
Week 16? Yeah. It's funny that you kind of say that the Seahawks defense is not too good, right?
Well, no, I'm just saying their offense has been sputtering as of lately, and their defense, they've been good as of late, but can they keep it up? You know, that's what I'm saying about that Seahawks defense. Can their defense keep it up? Because we've seen in years past where sometimes Russell Wilson just has to carry this defense because, you know, it couldn't handle it. So what kind of Seahawks team are we going to get, you know, tomorrow? Are we going to get a team where they have to rely on basically tell Russell Wilson, hey, save us, Russell Wilson? Or is this going to be like when Russell Wilson was in his early years, where it was basically the Legion of Boom defense and the run game that carried? You know, that's kind of what a wait and see. And there's a stat that kind of fascinates me. The LA Rams have allowed only 18.5 points per game this season, which is the fewest in the NFL. And we look at that Rams defense is fully healthy, you know, with Donald and Jalen Ramsey. It's going to be interesting to see how that matches up, because we look at even if Goff doesn't play, we saw Wolford do a fine job, you know, against Arizona. So, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. You know, on Saturday, definitely going to be a lot of great games to have on full display. I also loved how you picked up the Washington game. I'm also looking forward to that one, but I'm just going with the Rams Seahawks because I feel like that has a chance to bring up the biggest upset.
Yeah, and it's funny what you say. You know, I just think the Rams right now, they're on a bad leg. They're Goff's not healthy. His decision making is bad. Week 15, they were doing fine. Damn near about to win the game, I think, last time I was watching. Fucking throws a bullshit-ass interception to Jamal Adams. You got to have great decision-making. You like Seahawks, yeah, the offense been – you said their offense been off. Yeah, it has. It has. It's been a lot off than it was at the beginning of the season. But you got to think about it. This is the playoffs. They bet a lot. They throw a lot of – they take a lot of deep passes. I mean, just watching the Seahawks in the regular season, they're such a different team. Like, they're just so much more aggressive. I think they're going to manage the game really well. I think out of the three games Sunday, I think Seattle is going to be the one that's going to be a blowout. Like, truly, I really do. And I think, you know, they're going to use DK. If they could use DK to his advantage in the playoffs, they're going to be really, really – really a problem, because they just need to go throw it to him in the goal line. Let Lockett get him down the field. Feel me? Mm-hmm. Two deep passes to Lockett. That's going to get you in the goal line right up to DK. Hey, it's easy, you know? But I feel you, though. I think, honestly, it's the Rams decision-making, though. Because, I mean, the Rams were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the way they played was fucking amazing. It was great. They run the ball well, manage the clock well, they play the game well. The whole fucking 48 minutes, 40 minutes, however long the game is, they play that shit well from start to end. So, and they have amazing, amazing coaching. So, can't doubt them. I just think, like, right now they're on a bad leg with the injuries, Whitlock, Cup, and Goff. Feel me? So,
definitely make a lot of good points there. While we discuss the Saturday matchups, let's discuss the Sunday matchups as well. Another slate of three games on Sunday. We got the first matchup is the Baltimore Ravens traveling to the Tennessee Titans, both with 11-5 record. We got the Chicago Bears heading up to New Orleans to play the Saints. And we got the Cleveland Browns on Sunday night heading to Pittsburgh to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Caleb, if you had to choose one game that you're most looking forward to on that Sunday for a Super Wild Card weekend, what game would that be?
It's gonna be Tennessee versus Baltimore. Two teams that played last year, great teams, but I think Baltimore has been showing why they are who they are, why they are supposed to be respected, and Tennessee has showed the same thing. I think it's a redemption game. I think that game's gonna be played hard fought from head to toe, and I think this is a game where, you know, this is Lamar Jackson's this is his second game back in a wild card since he was a rookie.
This is going to be his third postseason game.
Yeah, his third postseason game, but his rookie year they were in the wild card against the Chargers, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, then, that is correct.
And then the other year, last year, they started off in the division, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think this is his first wild card appearance since that Chargers appearance, and he did kind of, it wasn't looking good that day. You know how the Chargers prepared for him, and it worked, and it wasn't looking too good. So I think this is a game he really could prove himself. If he could go out, you know, throw for, pull 200 passing yards, 300 passing yards out, like 2-3 touchdowns, and run for 50, he could really prove himself here. So I think this is going to be the biggest game of the weekend, besides Pittsburgh and Cleveland, because that's going to be a real intense one too.
I love the points that you made. As much as I would want to go different with a different game to choose on Sunday, I'm actually going to agree with you. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans. The reason why I want to go with the other two teams is because I don't really see the other two games faring out well, like Bears and Saints. Bears just snuck in at 8-8. Do we really think that they're going to beat? Do we really think that the Saints are going to choke again in the postseason for the fourth straight year in a row?
Go ahead.
I just don't see it happening. I think what I see with this Saints team, even though they're the number two seed, I think the Saints are going to go into this game and say, look, this is it. This is Breeze's final ride. If we're being honest, Breeze is not going to play next year. He's going to retire after this year. And yep, the Saints are going to go into this matchup against the Bears. And if I'm Sean Payton, I'm going to say, look, we've fallen short 3 years in a row, whether it's the Minneapolis Miracle, whether it's the no call, or whether it's us losing to the Vikings again last year. This is it. This is the final ride for Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Drew Brees does not want his final game to be played losing to an 8-8 Chicago Bears. It's not like the Bears are 10-6 or 11-5. No, they're 500.
But look,
the Saints are 12-4.
But look, now everything you just said, I agree. Drew, I think this is Drew's last year. I do. Watching him play, I'm like, oh, fuck. It's definitely his last year.
Yeah, and then with that ribs injury?
Yeah, like, I mean, you just want to enjoy life at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think this is going to be his last year. I also think, though, what you can't ignore with Chicago is Trubisky finished the season off, what, like 6-2?
Well, yeah, in the starts that he played, he did well, but he didn't really play a lot of strong opponents near the end of the season.
But that doesn't ignore that the team is on a hot streak with high confidence. The defense is proven to be pretty solid with Khalil Mack there. You know, he could always be a disruptor, you know, in the pass rush game. So that's the same. He's the same as Chase Young. I think that defense is going to come out. It's going to come out turned up because, you know, the Saints, we've been fucked on our offense pretty much all year. But we've been able to just persevere because we have so many weapons and get over it. So we're uncertain on if Kamara is coming back. I don't know. Can you inform me any more on that? Is he coming back, or we're still uncertain? I think that's a
I think we're still uncertain on that one.
Yeah, that's an up to game time decision. I mean, we lost all of our backs last week, so yeah, we don't want to be down Kamara. We definitely don't want to see anything happen to Drew where we got to throw Tyson in there, because then that just X out fucking Thomas. Thomas has been fucking kind of he's kind of been off the radar with Tyson at quarterback, you know? Mm-hmm. So that just with Tyson at quarterback, he's such a talented player, but our offense changes so much, and that makes our receivers a lot less valuable than they truly are with Drew Brees, a healthy Drew Brees on the field. So I think things like that are things we got to clean up. If we can stay healthy and make it through this game healthy, I see us going, you know, to the divisional, to whoop some ass there, and let's go whoop some ass in the conference play. And so let's go see that young boy Mahomes and whoop his ass too, and win a chip.
And yeah, we'll definitely see about that. Saints got to take care of business first. But also the other reason why I wouldn't choose the Browns and Steelers game is because the Browns are full of COVID. I feel like if the Cleveland Browns were fully healthy and the Steelers are fully healthy, I would have picked this game just because of that Pittsburgh-Cleveland.
Who are you picking to win? Because this game, I was going to pick this game because I thought this one was a big one. I mean, at the beginning.
I'm going Steelers by double digits. I think, you look at the Browns, they won't have Kevin Stefanski, which I don't know how they're going to say they won't have Kevin Stefanski. You could just have them like, in like a different, why don't you like put them in like a little booth and then have them call plays from up there? I think that's a little crazy. But it is COVID-19 though. But I just think the Steelers are more healthy. Big Ben has Ben Roethlisberger is 23-2-1 against the Cleveland Browns. Even though this is a different Cleveland team this year than in years past, I think that Steelers are going to go into this game and say, look, We were 11-0. We stumbled and fallen to 12-4, which I was correct when we did our season predictions. I said the Steelers would go 12-4. What happens? They're 12-4. So the boy was a genius there. You know, just want to throw it out there for the viewers who've been listening to our episodes.
I didn't think the Steelers would be this good.
I was spot on. Even though they went from 11-0 to 12-4, your boy was spot on with that 12-4 record.
And that's my thing. 11-0 to 12-4. They're not on a hot streak.
Yeah, they are cold.
Fucking ass too. I'm sorry to be using all these cuss words this morning, but I'm just frustrated.
Hey, that's why we call it a real sports podcast. We're keeping it real.
And period.
Keeping it real up in here.
That part.
And right. You know, as much as I would love Cleveland to pull off the upset, just so we could clown on all the Steelers fans again. I would love for that to happen.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening. That's why I'm going with you and stating, you know, the Ravens Titans. You look at when in the postseason history matchup between these two teams, the road team is 4-0. Who's on the road? Baltimore Ravens. And you best believe the Baltimore Ravens are looking for revenge because, I mean, you look at the Titans humiliated them last year in the playoffs. It was a humiliation. Even though Lamar Jackson had a bad game, and you could point to him on that, it wasn't just him. It was the team. The entire team did not do good. They couldn't convert fourth downs. They couldn't stop Derrick Henry. Like, this was when King Henry was unleashed. Derrick Henry had good stints. You know, he had the good 99-yard run against Jacksonville a couple years ago. But it was in that playoff run last year where we saw the real effect, why we call him King Henry to this day. Because he just murders dudes. I mean, he made Earl Thomas a lead blocker, and that's the lasting memory so far of Earl Thomas is him being a lead blocker on Derrick Henry. I mean, it's one of those to where, you know, and also you look at from a so-called legacy standpoint, even though this is Lamar Jackson's third year in the NFL and he's only 24, he's 0-2 in the playoffs. Even though I always give him a pass the first game, because when you're a rookie, you cannot be judged by your first game because it's your first ever game. but it was the second game against Tennessee last year. You're 14-2. The team is perfectly built around you, and you get humiliated like that. It's not like it was on the road. It was at home, and you got flat-out humiliated and outplayed by Ryan Tannehill. I mean, this is a game to where if Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens fall short against Tennessee from having Super Bowl aspirations to going 11-5 and a wild card, I think they're going to – I think teams are going to look at Baltimore a lot differently. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they look at Jim Harbaugh differently and say, look, man, ever since that Super Bowl run, you seem to be sputtering. Like, you look at ever since that Super Bowl run with Joe Flacco, missed the playoffs. They missed the playoffs 4 to 5 years. Through Lamar Jackson, and they've made the playoffs for 3 consecutive years. If they fall short this year, now, if they beat Tennessee and lose to Kansas City, I think everybody can understand that because, you know, the Chiefs are a different breed. Yeah. But if you can't make it past Tennessee again for the 3rd time in 2 years, and Lamar Jackson's playoff legacy is 0-3, because I'm telling you right now, Lamar Jackson wants to get paid. He wants to get paid the big money, you know, the big bucks as a QB. Yeah. But I'm telling you right now, if he goes into this offseason 0-3 in the postseason, the Ravens are going to look at it and say, why would we pay you? We don't have to pay you big money yet. Prove it to us next year. Prove it to us next year when you win a playoff game. So I'm looking at that Ravens-Titans game and saying – and looking at it and saying – and saying if Lamar Jackson wants to get paid the big bucks, he's got to win this playoff game. And also, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you know, you're 11-5. You've broken off the 9-7 mold.
Yeah, they've broken off that 9-7 mold. And A.J. Brown, you know, they found themselves a legitimate receiver. Tannehill, legitimate, you know, as much as I didn't think so. He's legitimate where he's at. They have a good culture where they're at, you know? So they don't alter it too much. They keep it how it is. They should be fine. And I think, like you said, you made a great point. They broke off that 9-7 mode. So it's just continuing to prove it because, you know, last year we thought they were there by luck. I did. I was like, oh my God, these guys just got there by luck. And I wanted them to win. I wanted to see them fucking go and win and just like shock the fucking world. But you know,
they shocked the world, making it all the way to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, but you know, I'm talking about Super Bowl, like really. Well,
if they would have made it all the way to the Super Bowl, I would have been impressed.
Yeah, I mean, exactly that. I think if they would have made it to the Super Bowl, that would have made it only more of a competition for Brady to, you know, choose between them and the Bucks. Because if Brady went there, I think they would have been really good.
If Brady went to the Tennessee Titans would be near the tops of the AFC. They'd be a 1 or a 2 seed.
I think so too. But I think, you know, with Brady going to the Bucks, I think that we expected him to have a fucking 16-0 season. You know, with the weapons that he did have around him, you know, he did have really good weapons around him, but he didn't have that. And now his offense faces a lot of questions and a lot of challenges. And now he has the weapons. So, you know, that's a lot different than how it would be in Tennessee. If he fucking lost A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, he would be right back how he was in New England again, just with Mike Vrabel. So I think in the Bucks in Tampa, he has the weather, he has, you know, everything nice out there, and he has the weapons. Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Gronk, Evans, Jones, Fournette.
Yeah, he's got it all. He's got it all over there. I will say it's gonna be an exciting wild card weekend. I think it's gonna be great having 3 games. I think it's great that they expanded it to 7 teams. Because now it's more of a chance of an upset. And, you know, all these games are going to be great. So we'll definitely see what happens in the wild card weekend. Now, while we're on to that, let's talk about players under the most pressure. I'll start off first by saying one of the players that I believe that's under the most pressure even though he's on a bye, I'm going with my Green Bay Packers and quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers as a player under the most pressure because what excuses does he have? I mean, watching the Green Bay Packers for many years, in years past, we could point the blame at other pieces. We could say it was our bad defense. Defense couldn't get the job done. Defense allowed too many points. Look at the NFC Championship game against Atlanta. Look at the NFC Championship game last year. The defense folded. And then there are some instances where it's like bad coaching decisions. It's like, why wouldn't Mike McCarthy have the balls and go for two against Arizona? You know, why wouldn't Mike McCarthy be conservative against Seattle in the NFC Championship game instead of going for the win? You know, you always had that to look at and say, you know what? Even though we love Rodgers, you know, there's blame to go around other sides. This year, there is no excuse. Oh, and you could also blame that it wasn't at Lambeau Field. Like, we didn't get home field advantage. Yeah. This year, there's no excuses. We got the number one seed. We got the first round bye. We have a competent coach in Matt LaFleur that knows what he's doing. We have a solid offense, a fantastic offense, one of the best in the NFL. Devontae Adams having a stellar year. Aaron Jones playing great. Aaron Rodgers having a fantastic offensive line. And even the defense has been stepping up too, mm-hmm. as of lately. So Aaron Rodgers is going into this playoffs, even though he's already going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and that's a fact. If he wants his legacy to improve, he has to go far this year in the playoffs. We cannot have another year of falling short in the playoffs, whether it's in the divisional round or the championship game. He has to make it to the Super Bowl this year. He has to. This is the best team Aaron Rodgers has had to add another ring besides that 2010 NFL Green Bay Packers team that won the Super Bowl. This is the best roster he has had since that Super Bowl run. He cannot disappoint in this playoff run, or else, you know, people are going to look at Rodgers differently. They're going to say, yeah, he's a great quarterback, but is he one of the greatest of all time? Because you look at Peyton Manning, he's an all-time great. He got two. Eli Manning got two rings. Ben Roethlisberger, he's got two. John Elway, he's got two. And then, of course, the good old Tom Brady's got six, Montana four, Bradshaw four. But Rodgers, he's only got one. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people consider him.
So does Drew Brees.
Yeah, so does Brady. Brady's got one as well.
Peyton's got two.
Yeah, Peyton's got two. But you look at with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people consider him one of the great QB talents of all time. But they look at that one ring and say, ooh, he could have more. This is the playoffs to where if he could add another, if he could win his second, his name could elevate in the QB conversation. Obviously not over the likes of, you know, Joe Montana or Tom Brady, because, you know, they have four rings and six. But I think if Rodgers could add a second one, I think he could elevate his name close to around the Peyton Manning, John Elway conversation, and even elevate his name over Brett Favre. Because, I mean, Favre's only got one. Rodgers got one. If Rodgers can get two, I think that could elevate him as well. That's one of the players that I believe is under the most pressure, just because of the fact that there is no excuses for Aaron Rodgers this postseason. If he struggles and falls short, it's all on him. It's not going to be on the defense. It's not going to be on, you know, the coaching staff. It's all on him. This is his destiny. His decision-making is going to be how far Green Bay will go. If he plays great, Green Bay is going to go far. If he does not play well, they will fall short. And I've stated time and time again, give Green Bay the one seed and there's a chance. They have the one seed. Now go out there and prove it. Obviously, they have a bye week this week. You know, we'll have to wait and see who they play in the divisional matchup. But we'll have to see how Rodgers will play in the divisional round, because he's going to be under the most pressure. I'll ask you that same question, Caleb. If you had to pick a player that's under the most pressure in these playoffs, who would it be?
To be honest, I want to say Tom Brady. to be honest. I think with all the weapons he had, like I mentioned earlier, there really is no excuse why he can't get it done. Even though he has six rings and it's not going to, like, totally tarnish his legacy, but it's to a point where it's like, yo, you had all these weapons. The best weapon you had in New England most recently even came with you down here to Tampa to get it done. You may understand that Bill Belichick is not the coach that you have, but Bruce Arians is not bad as well. He's well proven. But we know that their relationship isn't the best. So I think for players under the most pressure, I think it's Brady, because it won't look good the day after on First Take or anywhere else, even on MCS World Sports Podcast, if he goes out there and loses to the young buck, Chase Young and them. So I'm putting Tom Brady on watch duty right now. He's got a lot of pressure.
Yeah, you definitely make a great case there. I will say, Brady's legacy is pretty much set in stone. I mean, six rings, you know, bet to nine Super Bowls, won six, 6-3. You know, that's a great record. But if he does lose to Washington, a team that is 7-9, below 500, that's not going to be a good look. And it won't be a good look on the Bucs, because, I mean, we look at how the Buccaneers are shaped. They're pretty much all in the next 2 years. I mean, they pretty much bought – I mean, they really bought in this year. I mean, getting guys like Fournette and Antonio Brown and Gronk with Brady. They're pretty much bought all in for this year to try and make a run. And them going 11-5, they've kind of put themselves in a little pickle. So I'm glad that you picked Brady, because it's one of those where, like, if Brady loses to Washington, there's going to be a lot of chatter, you know, on First Take, like you mentioned, of you know, can the Bucks win another? Can they win a Super Bowl with him?
Yeah,
you know, that'll be an interesting thing to see what happens. I'm also going to throw in another player that I think is under pressure. I'll even throw in two, and then if you want to add in some others, you can. I'm throwing in Drew Brees and Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
You know, okay. I'm throwing in Drew Brees, kind of the same reason why I threw in Aaron Rodgers. You have one ring. And what's more pressure for Brees is this is it. Like, this is his final run. Rodgers has a couple of years left in the tank. Drew Brees, this is it. I mean, that after that rib – I mean, I thought Brees would last maybe two more years, but after that ribs injury and with him signing a contract with NBC, you know, before the season started, this is the final run. This is kind of like, you know, MJ in The Last Dance, you know, with the Saints. Like, for Brees, this is it. How do you want your legacy to be remembered? Because you're going to be a Hall of Famer. You have all the QB records, but you only got one ring. Can you win another? Because I'll tell you for a fact right now, Drew Brees cannot afford to lose to the Bears in the wild card round. Now, if he loses to a team like Seattle or Green Bay, whether it's in the division round or the championship game, I think teams could understand that. I mean, it'd be hard for him to go out without a Super Bowl, but if they lose to better teams like the Seahawks or the Green Bay Packers, I think people would understand, because they're like, okay, you know what? Those teams are just better than the Saints that day. You know, Brees had a great run, great career. But if Drew Brees loses to the Bears, who are 8-8 in the wild card round, that's going to be a tough look to end your career.
Yeah.
Losing to an 8-8 and at home too. That would Drew, be a tough
Drew's,
look.
Drew's under big pressure, man, because the last 2 years, the Saints have been fucked.
Right there.
So you don't want to go 3 years in a row with, oh, you guys could have did this. You guys could have won the Super Bowl the past 2 years. Yeah. Like, nah. Like, let's shout to the Saints, to Drew Brees, Michael Thomas. Go out shooting, man. Go out shooting. Like, anything, losing the finals or conference. And if you lose in the wild card, that shit better be how fucking Hail Mary.
it better be by some sort of miracle. And also, I know it's crazy to throw Lamar Jackson in, even though it's only in his third year. But the reason why I put in Lamar Jackson is because he could potentially go out and try and get a contract. I mean, we saw Mahomes after 3 years, got him paid his contract. Deshaun Watson got him and paid his contract. With Lamar Jackson, after this third year, he could go out and try to get a contract. If he's 0-3, I mean, I stated this earlier, if he's 0-3 in the playoffs, that's not going to be a good look when it comes to contract negotiations and saying, I want the big bucks. Because I'll tell you right now, if I'm the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson's 0-3 in the playoffs, he says he wants his money, I'll laugh straight at his face. I would laugh at him and say, boy, you haven't done shit. You haven't done shit for me in the playoffs. You're 0-3, pal. Come back to me next year when you win a playoff game. Then we'll talk. I know it's hardcore, but that's how, if I'm the Ravens front office, I'd say, look, we built the team around you. We built the running game for you. We've done everything for you, and you've fallen flat on your face 3 times. You don't deserve the big contract money like Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson have had, because at least they won a playoff game. They've won playoffs.
I can understand why you say that, but you're talking to an MVP.
Well, MVP hasn't won me a playoff game.
And be honest, have the Ravens really Have the Ravens really surrounded him with A1 weapons?
What kind of A1 weapons? Like top receivers like a Thomas or a Tyreek Hill? Because if that's the case, no. But they have surrounded him with a solid tight end and Mark Andrews.
He's a solid tight end. This year wasn't his best year. Marcus Brown, solid. This year wasn't his best year. He's young still. Still has to, become who he's going to be. So I'll give him that.
But we kind of knew that the Ravens were going to be more of a run-first kind of team, because that's just how they're built.
But is their running game the best running game it could be?
Oh, no.
Mark Ingram, no. Mark, even last year, Mark Ingram didn't even have a 1,000-yard rushing season. If Lamar Jackson can get a running back that can have a 1,000-yard rushing season, I guarantee you Lamar Jackson will no longer have a 1,000-yard rushing season after that, and his passing yards will go up with passing touchdowns as well, mm-hmm. and they'll be more lethal. They're making him be the running back as well as the quarterback. I mean, you look at his stats this year. He had 1,000 yards rushing for a third straight year. That's running back shit. No, you feel me? So, I don't even know how many rushing touchdowns he had. I'm sure he had maybe a lot, or I don't know. I know Cam Newton was another one that had 13 rushing touchdowns this year. Didn't even reach double digits for passing. He got double digits for rushing. So, he didn't even touch 1,000 rushing yards neither.
Yeah, we'll definitely see about that. Hopefully Lamar Jackson gets over the hump and wins a playoff game. Let's kind of go into the most improved players of the playoffs, kind of like players you're most looking forward to trying to improve. I'll start off with you, Caleb. Who do you think has a chance to improve themselves in the playoffs this year?
AB. I'm putting my money on AB. I want to see it happen. After all the shit that he went through, the way he showed himself the past year, I think it would be dope if he could step up. That's one challenge that the Tampa Bay offense is facing.
Without Mike Evans. Let's see.
Mike Evans being out. So it's he's really going to get that opportunity to be relied on now and not be the third guy, because, the past eight weeks he was the third guy. Nobody really paying attention if he had a bad game or not. Didn't really matter, It's not like he's going to really be called upon as much. But now, wild card game, he's facing a turned up Washington defense, like I said earlier in the episode, and I think he's going to be called on more. And last week, everybody obviously seen Tom Brady show him a lot of love. He earned $500,000 on an incentive.
Yeah.
For 11 catches, and they were double passes. I didn't even know what the fuck that was. I didn't see him. But he hooked him up, basically, with $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a good hookup. I'm also going to agree with you as well. I'm also going to go with Antonio Brown. Just for the simple fact of, now that Mike Evans is hurt, how is Antonio Brown going to step up? Because I'll tell you for a fact right now, if he step, a lot of people forget Antonio Brown used to be the best receiver in the NFL. But before he went on the shenanigans that he's been on the last 2 years with the Steelers, Raiders, Patriots, and Tampa Bay, he was the best receiver in the NFL. If Antonio Brown can have a breakout game against Washington, I'll tell you for a fact, Tampa's going to be a scary team. They're already a scary team because you got Tom freaking Brady as your quarterback. If Antonio Brown could come back to form, ooh, man, they are going to be a scary team. Let's move on to some recent news that just went down. Deshaun Watson wants to be traded. He threw out a request to the Houston Texans basically saying, look, I want out. I don't want to be a part of a losing franchise. Caleb, if you were Deshaun Watson, where would you want to be traded to?
The Saints. Saints. With Drew heading out of there, you know, he gets a weapon, and Michael Thomas, similar to Hopkins, gets a running back. What he didn't have, a talented running back, what he didn't have in Houston, solid defense. Why not? Make it happen. I think that would be dope. I honestly would want to see it.
If you were the Saints, what would you give up? Because you know you'd have to give up like 2-3 first rounders.
Oh, no. I give him Taysom. A first and a second the next year.
All right. Definitely not.
I give him this year's first. It have to be this year because they don't want to get a first with us and having Watson. Mm-hmm. You know, I give them this year's first, maybe even next year's first too. Maybe even next year's first. I might even give them Jameis. They can go fuck with Jameis. Give them this year's first, next year's first, and Jameis, and we'll just hold Tyson and you know go from there. I don't know. What would you give up being the Saints? What would you give up for him?
If I were the Saints, for your case, I would give up obviously your first round pick this year, first round next year. I mean, as much as I love Taysom Hill, I throw Taysom Hill in with the second rounder. I would go full throttle, two first, Taysom Hill in a second, boom. Bring in Deshaun Watson, and the Saints are competing for Super Bowls. Now, I don't think Deshaun Watson will go to New Orleans. I believe Deshaun Watson. Man, it's tough because a lot of teams to choose from. But the scariest one that I think could potentially happen, Deshaun Watson to the 49ers. If Deshaun Watson gets traded to the San Francisco 49ers, it's going to be terrible for teams in the NFC West and for teams in the NFC because, I mean, you look at 49ers could cut and release Jimmy Garoppolo and save $25 million.
Yeah.
True. And knowing the 49ers front office and John Lynch and company, they could trade their first round pick this year. They could even trade their first round pick next year. They could even throw in another player if they wanted to. Another player on offense.
Yeah.
With one of their running backs that they have, whether they want to throw in Raheem Mostert or Tevin Coleman or Jeff Wilson, throw that in and bring in Deshaun Watson. And just like that, the 49ers are going to be competing for Super Bowls again. So I think if I'm Deshaun Watson, find me a way to get to the San Francisco 49ers. Because if the 49ers could get Deshaun Watson, they're going to be the kings of the NFC because we saw last year when they were fully healthy, they made it to the damn Super Bowl. They were 6.5 minutes away from hoisting a Lombardi before Shanahan pulled Shanahan type things and choked in the big game and before Mahomes played like an MVP. So, I mean, if the Niners can get Deshaun Watson, then their window for competing for a Super Bowl is wide open for the next 5 to 10 years.
Definitely wide, all the way wide open. I mean, the sky's the limit for them if they could do that. With the defense that they have, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think the Texans are really, it's really going to be hard for them to trade them, though, honestly.
Oh, yeah. It will be hard to trade them. I will say they definitely have a lot of leverage because, I mean, they just recently paid the man, so why would they want to move on from him instantly after really pretty much just the year of having him at quarterback? You know, he just got paid his big money, so why would they want to move on from him instantly? You know, it'll be interesting to see what Houston does, you know, how Deshaun Watson will handle it. Because, I mean, you look at – it's not about what Deshaun Watson wants, it's what the team wants. If the team wants to trade him, they'll trade him. Yeah. Mean, a player can ask to be traded all he wants, but the team's got control.
Simple. So
it'll be the team and deciding what they want to do.
Exactly. I totally agree with that.
Let's move on to head coaching vacancies. There's a lot of head coaching jobs up for grabs. You got the Houston Texans, the Chargers, the Falcons, the Jets, the Jaguars, just to name a few of the five. And even the Detroit Lions, you know, to name the six head coach vacancy jobs. Caleb, if you were a head coach and had to choose between those six teams, what team would you want to coach? And also, when you select the team you want to coach, what head coach would you want to bring? Would you want to bring Eric Bieniemy? Would you want to bring Robert Saleh? Would you even want to bring the Bills offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll? Or would you bring a head coach from the college ranks?
I definitely would want to bring in Eric Bieniemy. Definitely. I think he's the hot guy on the seat right now. You put me on to him a lot earlier before the season. Matt might have been, you guys might have heard Matt talking about Eric Bieniemy. I didn't know he was like that, but, you know, he proved that his team is built very well. So I would want him, and I would love to see him in Houston, but they didn't interview him. I don't know why. I don't know why. I really don't know. But, I mean, honestly, I would love to see him with Herbert. They just need to go get another weapon down there in L.A. and Herbert. It could get crazy because Herbert is that guy. He's showing that he's that guy. So I would love to see him down here in LA with Herbert.
You made a great point with him going to the Chargers. I would also choose Eric Bieniemy to be my next head coach. I feel like he's the best qualified coach known to man. I mean, Robert Saleh, I mean, if you like defensive-minded, Robert Saleh is your guy. I would not want to bring a guy up from the college ranks. I heard rumors that potentially Urban Meyer would want to coach. I wouldn't want Urban Meyer. I mean, even though Urban Meyer, everywhere Urban Meyer has gone, he has won. But he's also brought up a little bit of trouble everywhere he's gone. I mean, you look at Florida, the kind of stuff that they had while he was there with the Gators. Obviously won two national championships there, but had a little bit of stuff going on there with Ohio State. I mean, he had the issues. He had medical issues, did win a national championship there, but had medical issues. And, you know, I just wouldn't want that. You know, I like Eric Bieniemy. I love what he's done with Kansas City. I love what he's done with the quarterbacks that he's had. I mean, he did well with Alex Smith, did well with Patrick Mahomes. Turn Patrick Mahomes into a $500 million man. I mean, he is a great guy. The reason why I wouldn't want, if I were Eric Bieniemy, I wouldn't want to go to the Chargers is because you got to play Kansas City twice a year. Kansas City is going to run that division for as long as Patrick Mahomes is going to be there. I feel like it's going to be like when Tom Brady owned the AFC East for like 11, 12 straight years. That's what's going to be with Kansas City in the AFC West. If I am Eric Bieniemy, I know this may be interesting, but I'm looking at that Atlanta job. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm looking at the Atlanta Falcons and saying, even though the owner said that, you know, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are going to be up for trade if the new GM wants to be, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I go to Atlanta and say, I don't gotta trade these guys. I'll be with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. I'm an offensive mind because I'm telling you right now. You look at the NFC South. If Atlanta can get it right, if they can get the right head coach and the right GM, they'll be in the NFC South. Because you look at the Saints, Breeze could retire after this year. Do we really think that Taysom Hill is their guy? I still think that's to be determined. Jameis Winston, I mean, we saw Jameis Winston as a franchise guy. He was up and down. And then even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they got a 43-year-old quarterback. I know it's Tom Brady, but the QB's 43. How long can he stay consistent? That's to be determined. Carolina is still in rebuild mode. I mean, if Atlanta could get Eric Bieniemy in there, if they could get the right GM in there, keep Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, they could be back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They could be back in the playoff conversation. Now, will I say Super Bowl?
Ryan is expiring, though. He's on his milk carton is expiring.
It definitely is, but one thing I will say, I think if Atlanta can get the right head coach and the GM, I think they'll be right in the playoff race. Will I say Super Bowl? Hell no. I think they had their chance, but 28-3 happened, and then they'll never get that chance again.
Yeah.
For another 10, 15 years. but if we're talking consistently make the playoffs, I think they can, you know, with the right guy at the helm, and I think Eric Bieniemy is that guy at the helm that we will have to wait and see. And I also like to see how other teams will fill in their head coach vacancy jobs. How desirable is Jacksonville going to be? Because they have a lot of cap space. They got the number one overall pick. You know, if they select Trevor Lawrence, then maybe some head coaches want to go over there. You know, same thing with your Chargers. Chargers with Justin Herbert. You like to call him Herbert Sherbert. You know what? How desirable is the Chargers going to be? You know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, which head coaches are going to be available and who's going to fill in those vacancies. Cause it's going to be interesting to see how teams will approach it. You know, will they go from the college ranks or will they go with recent offensive coordinators who have had success with their previous teams?
Yeah, that's something that we will get ready to see. And I mean, next season should be exciting with, you know, all the college rank, coaches that come in and the assistant coaches that get some jobs. You know, a lot of teams need new makeovers. So that's going to be exciting to see if these guys could take the next step with the teams that do need a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely will be. And to close out episode 48 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast, let's make our NFL playoff bracket. Caleb, we discussed the matchups already for the Super Wild Card weekend. I'll even run it through with you again for your bracket. So right now, the Chiefs will be the one seed. They would play the lowest seed matchup. Let's go with the AFC first and then the NFC side of things. With the AFC bracket, Colts and Bills, who do you think wins that game?
Bills.
All right, Bills moving on. And also the 6-seed Browns versus 3-seed Steelers. Who wins that game?
I got the Browns upsetting them.
Ooh, Browns upsetting. All right. And then Ravens-Titans.
I got the Ravens upsetting them there.
All righty. So we got the Browns going to Kansas City, and we got the Ravens going to Buffalo. Browns versus Chiefs. Caleb, who do you think wins that matchup?
Chiefs.
All right, so you got the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game for the third year in a row. And the Baltimore Ravens go to Buffalo to play the Bills. Who do you think wins that matchup?
Sadly, I got to say Buffalo. They've been having connected on all cylinders.
All righty.
I got to sadly say Buffalo.
All right, so your AFC Championship game, you got the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Buffalo Bills. Who will represent the AFC in Super Bowl 55?
I got the Chiefs doing it one more time.
All righty, the Kansas City Chiefs representing the AFC. Now, on the NFC side of things, Green Bay Packers got the number one seed in the first round bye. Let's discuss the Bears traveling to the Saints. Who do you think takes care of business?
Saints take care of business, get the job done.
All righty. And let's talk about Rams and Seahawks. Who do you think wins that game?
Seattle gets the job done.
All righty. So we got the Saints matching up against the Seahawks in the division round. And to close out the wild card weekend, Bucks travel to Washington to play the football team. Caleb, do you think an upset happens?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Is the go for a reason.
All righty. And in the NFC divisional matchups, you got the Saints playing the Seattle Seahawks, and you got the Green Bay Packers hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Caleb, Packers and Bucks, who do you think wins?
Bucks.
Ooh, you got the Bucks.
I got Tom Brady doing his thing.
All righty. You got the Buccaneers being the Green Bay Packers and the Saints going up against the Seattle Seahawks at the Dome. Who gets the job done?
Hey, man. We talked about Drew Brees having a good year. Proud Drew Brees and the Saints coming up.
All righty. So a third time, Buccaneers versus the New Orleans Saints NFC Championship game at the Superdome. Who represents the NFC in the Super Bowl?
I got the Saints, man. I got the Saints helping us get there.
All right. Definitely a good bracket. Now that you got the Kansas City Chiefs and the New Orleans Saints in Super Bowl 55 at Raymond James Stadium, who do you believe will be the Super Bowl 55 NFL champions?
Man, without being biased. I think the Saints pull it out.
So you think this is Brees' swan song, retire as a champ?
I think he gets it done. Like I said earlier in the episode, the Saints have been fucked out of the last 2 years in the playoffs. 1 year, Minnesota did the Hail Mary thing with Diggs, and they beat us. Then the other year, Minnesota again throws it
to Rudolph.
A fade to Rudolph. And he catches it off of his helmet. Bullshit PI. But those are the last 2 years. Yet again, we were.
Oh, hey, and let's not forget about the missed PI call.
The missed PI call against the Rams.
3 years.
Last 3 years. We've already been fucked for the last 3 years. We got to do it now. And I think this is where they get it done with Drew Brees right now.
All right. Well, here will be my playoff bracket. So I'll start off with what I did first in the AFC. Chiefs got the one seed. We got the Bills, Colts. I think the Bills take care of business. But I will say, I think it'll be close.
Yeah, I
think the Bills will win by seven.
You got the Bills winning by seven?
Yeah, I think the Colts will keep it interesting. I think they'll keep it interesting.
I hope so.
Browns and Steelers, as much as I would love for Cleveland to pull off the upset so I could just laugh at Steelers fans for a little bit, I think the Steelers get the job done. I think the Steelers will beat the Browns. And then Ravens, Titans. I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to get revenge. I think this is a time where Lamar Jackson finally gets his first playoff win, and I think he'll get it done down there in Nashville. So that means it would be the Bills versus Steelers and the Ravens against the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs taking care of business against Baltimore. I think the Chiefs are gonna ride their way to the AFC Championship game. And with the Bills and the Steelers, as much as I think the Steelers will get revenge, I think Buffalo just has their number. I'm going with the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. As much as I like for Bills Mafia to continue on their run, I think it ends. I think the Kansas City Chiefs will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl on the AFC side of things. Now on the NFC side of things, Kev, you might be a little shocked with how I'm going to approach the NFC side of things. Green Bay Packers are obviously the one seed, got a first round bye. Buccaneers playing Washington. I got the Buccaneers taking care of business against Washington. As I think Washington will keep it interesting, but I think the Bucs will pull away at the end. Got the Rams and the Seahawks. I'm all in on the Rams upset. I think the Los Angeles Rams will pull off the upset against the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Wild Card weekend. And then the Bears versus the Saints. I think the Saints are going to put the beating on the Bears. I feel like the Saints, they're on a mission. I think the Saints are going to be rolling through, and they're going to beat the brakes off the Bears. Now, the NFC divisional matchups, it will be the Green Bay Packers against the Los Angeles Rams for me. And it will be the Saints versus the Buccaneers for the third time. Now, the Green Bay Packers going up against the Los Angeles Rams, I think the Green Bay Packers take care of business.
Easy.
I think the Packers against the Rams, I think the Rams won't be built for the cold. I feel like the only way how the Rams would win is if the defense shuts down the offense. And I think if I had to go up against the offense toe-to-toe, I think the Packers take care of business. And I think Rodgers is looking for some vengeance. He looks ready. He looks poised. So I got the Packers in the NFC Championship game. And then the Saints up against the Bucs for the third time. I think the Saints beat them for a third time. I think the NFC Championship game matchup, the Green Bay Packers versus the New Orleans Saints at Lambeau Field, I think the Green Bay Packers take care of business. They end Drew Brees' magical run, and I believe it'll be the State Farm Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs matching up with the Green Bay Packers. And you know what? I think the Green Bay Packers are going to hoist up the Lombardi Trophy. Spend 10 years in the making, but like LeBron said, it's about damn time. It's about time the title town, this Lombardi Trophy comes home. I feel like the Lombardi Trophy is coming home to Green Bay. So I got Packers, Chiefs, Packers winning it all. Caleb's got Saints and Chiefs, and he's got the New Orleans Saints winning it all with Drew Brees retiring as a champion. And that, my friends, will conclude episode 48 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning into this episode. This is Matt Skura and my great friend Caleb Conant. We are
out of here. We're out of here. We're signing out.